How did this happen? This is the worst derailment this podcast has ever suffered.
I told you I wouldn't be invited back.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
You played this game.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We're talking about
Now locked in to the Clock Dodgers podcast.
Welcome to the Clock Dodgers podcast. I'm your host, Neil Maligno. With me, as always, is the intro fumbler himself, Josh Crocker. What's up, Josh?
How's it going, Neil?
Good, good, good. Also with us is the guy who demands his own introduction separate from Josh because he doesn't want to be grouped with the intro awkward Josh, Adam Cahill. What's up, Adam?
I do appreciate that. Oh, man, it's the most wonderful time of the year. The Scott Fishbowl has finally arrived.
That's right. That's what we're going to get into here. I'm also super excited for today's guest who's joining us. It's the homie right here, man. We chop it up all the time. He's been making some, you know, bold claims in other chats with Josh about me and Clock Dodgers and talking his shit. We'll get to all of that. More importantly, he's passionate and talented content creator. He's a fantasy analyst. Welcome to the Clock Dodgers podcast, Jordan Richards. What's up, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you guys so much for having me. And I think there's this rumor going around that I'm the Clock Dodger killer.
That's what I heard.
So I'm going to have to live up to that name. I'm going to have to live up to that name this year. You know, we're going to see what happens.
Only one I'm happy to be here. Rumor, sir.
No,
I heard it. Wait. Fine. What is this all about now? Clock Dodger killer. What happened, Jordan?
So, Neil, do you want to tell a story or should I tell a story?
You can tell it. You're the guest.
All right, so last year, right, we were in Scott Fishbowl. I didn't know Neil back then. We didn't really talk. And so when we connected this year, I was kind of like going through my team last year looking to see how I did. We had a crazy division. It was like Nick Whalen, the fantasy footballers, like a whole bunch of really good analysts in there. And so I look at the bottom of my division. I'm like, oh, wow, like Clock Dodgers, Neil. Man, that's not good. So then I had to point it out to him. I DM'd him. I was like, oh, man, you're in my Scott Fishbowl division. I didn't even know you back then. Like, why didn't we talk? And I was like, it's probably because your team sucked. Like, I drafted Andrew Luck. Still beat you. Like, my second-round pick just retired on me. And I almost made the playoffs, too. I didn't quite make it, but, yeah, no. And so now, you know, I got Josh. We're going to see what happens, though. Team's off to a good start, so I'm pretty happy.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. But...
Oh, wait.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you and Josh are in the same league this year. Oh, yes, well, this just got super interesting. And that, I mean, you caught Neil on his off year, though. That's I mean, right. The year before that, he was like top 20 in the Scott Fish.
That's bowl, right. So. Top 10 in scoring, baby. I had that on my belt, you know what I mean?
I mean, if you want to live off that success forever, I mean, it's up to you.
I would.
Like, I didn't have a great year either, but, I mean, at least I was better than you. So I can say that. You know, I can talk my shit in that regard.
Jordan, we both ended up in the same spot, man, out of the playoffs. And we're going to see what happens this year, all right? We're going to see what happens this year.
Feeling good, though. Feeling good. All right. We'll talk
more about it. What I do want to do, Jordan, is we always, whenever we have a guest on the show, especially if they're a first-time guest, I like to have some warm-up questions, get the listeners familiar with you if they're not already. So we're just gonna talk a little bit about you, and then we'll jump over to Scott Fishbowl. So starting off, I did want to ask you, how did you get started in fantasy football content creation? Not fantasy football in general, but just the content creation side of it.
That honestly kind of just sparked from my own personal interest in it. Like when I started with Destination Devi and Ray and stuff like that, it was kind of just an idea that evolved over time. So we started talking like last May or something. I made a whole video about it on the YouTube channel. But basically I was like, hey man, why don't you do YouTube content? Why don't you do video content? Because you look at the fantasy football landscape, it's all podcasts and it's all articles. People don't really want to read articles. Like I know there's thousands of articles written every day, but you know, there's only a select few people that actually will read those articles. And so right. If you want to untap a new audience, you have to go somewhere that not a lot of people are. Like there's a few big people in the YouTube space, but as far as Dynasty and all that stuff goes, it's still a very untapped market. And so I honestly kind of came up to Ray and was like, hey man, why don't we make some YouTube content? And he loved the idea and we came up with a few different show ideas and it kind of just took off from there. I was already doing stuff for my company on the side, making videos and taking photos and stuff for them, making content. And so it was kind of just a natural fit where like I kind of fell out of love with writing and I naturally went into kind of the content creation side.
Nice. Yeah. So you mentioned, I think I mentioned in the intro, maybe you're with Destination Devi with Ray. Ray's a good friend of the show. We've had him on. We talk all the time. We chop it up. We support you guys like crazy over there, and vice versa, of course, which we appreciate. But so basically you're saying you shot your shot. You just shot it over there DM style to Ray and like, hey, man, let's do something.
Bro, the funny part is that actually how it kind of truly is that, yes, I did DM him, but this was a long time ago. This is when I had more followers than he did.
Oh,
like,
damn.
Like, take that in. I have, like, 1,700 followers. This guy's well over 10K now. But back when this happened, I honestly DM'd him to be like, yo, your video is, like, kind of trash. And it wasn't because it was bad, but it was just – it needed a few tweaks. But what stemmed from that is like crazy when you really think about it. It was just me saying, hey, man, why don't you change this in your video? He took that constructive feedback, and we've been friends ever since. And we just built this brand. And so he kind of brought me on with Destination Devi more officially. And then now I'm involved with DLF. And then now we're doing our stuff with Fade the Noise. And it's just like,
what about it's that, honestly, just blowing it would up. Have been, it would have been so easy for him to be like, hey, how about you go kick rocks? Yeah. And because straight up, he didn't do that, something else happened.
Yeah, like part of it was my approach, I'm sure, but I wouldn't say I was overly nice about it, you know? Right. Like, I was just like, hey, man, why don't you try this? But he was fully accepting of my criticism. He didn't know me. He didn't. So to your point, yeah, he could have said, like, fuck you. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, who are you?
Exactly. There's a lot to take from that. Like, from his perspective, like, being open to the criticism and the feedback and, like, building off it rather than getting defensive. And number two on your end, just taking that shot and criticizing somebody, not in a negative way, but I've seen that also happen a lot on like when people apply for jobs and stuff like that. Like they sometimes say like, hey, I'm not just applying for this job because of my skills, but like you need to fix this and I can help you do that. You know what I mean? Like, and it's a good approach. So I think it's important for listeners, not just in fantasy, but just in any aspect when trying to, you know, get to a certain place or to achieve a certain goal. Like sometimes it takes the aggressive approach, you know what I mean? Rather than the, you know, hoping things will come to you. What's funny is, when Ray was doing videos initially on Twitter, do you remember when he was just like, he was posting videos of just like players and then he would just write stuff on the screen, on the Twitter, like on the tweet. And I actually messaged him and said, hey, you should add your audio to that instead of me having to read it. Like you should just talk over that video. And then here you go, Jordan. And you slither right in under that and overbeat my advice. Cause he took my advice and he put a couple of videos out. I'm like, yeah, man, I see how you're doing it now. I like that. And then here you come and you just slither through the DMs. And just, I could be in your spot right now, Jordan. You took my spot, man.
You could. And the funny thing is so all I did was I said, why don't you highlight your wide receivers? Because nobody knows what fucking guy is Curtis Samuel. Like, when you're scouting wide receivers, if no one highlights who it is, how do I know which one it is until he gets the ball? That so I was like, man, amazing. Highlight this guy and I'll actually get what's going on. Like, you're not just talking to like random B-roll.
Yeah.
It's my and so number that's one kind complaint of what when watching film. It's why I became such a big fan of oh my god, I hope I don't screw this up, but Brett Coleman, I believe is his name. And on YouTube he does film breakdowns very well edited. But yeah, it's so funny how little adjustments like that as a viewer can make you go from clicking on something and watching it for 15 seconds to watching the entire video.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. And that's why I had to say it, you know? It was like easy fix.
Good move on you, man. Definitely slid right in there. But hey, respect. And for sure, like this episode wasn't supposed to be about Ray or you all the way, but we just did it because we like what you guys are doing. So shout out to Ray.
Welcome, guest. It's shout not out to, about
shout,
you.
No, shout not out. Shout out to Ray.
Yeah, shout out to
Ray. Ray's got his own shine now.
Yeah, Ray's shining too hard, right? Now you gotta get some shine. Listen, that's what I was gonna say. You know, you write articles, right? You started writing for DLF too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But you're like, hey, why are you writing articles now, Jordan? You just said fuck articles.
Well, it's not fuck articles. They have their purpose, okay. Right? And so for me, it's just about, like, if you were to actually read my articles, all of them kind of have like a central theme. Like the last two I did revolved around movies. And so I tried to write them a certain way. And I remember someone read it and they were like, wow, like that article is written very differently from how most people would write it. I said, yeah, I know. I just have like my own style. And I was telling them kind of how I came up with the ideas. And so that's why I usually don't write that much, because I have to have like a really inspiring idea to do so. And so I've been trying to get more involved with DLF, and like, because I kind of got added to the team by extension, right?
Right.
Like obviously I work so much with Ray, and Ryan McDowell was like, hey man, like I love your stuff. can you make a show for me? And I was like, well, no, I can't do that, because that's what I did for Ray, right? I built him the All Gas show, and then a few people reached out to me and they're like, hey, can you do the same? And I was like, we have a deal. Like, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But if you want me to write, be a part of the team, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do that. I'd love to join the team and all that stuff. And so, yeah, like now we're starting to get involved with Fade the Noise, and I'm doing a bunch of shit for them too. Like that, they have me commissioned to do something right now that I got to do after this podcast. So we're going to see how that goes.
And we're not paying you, and they are. So like, kind of messing you
well,
up.
Well, I mean, it's, know. Nah, it's not about that. It's not about the money, man. It's just like, it's just cool to see different things. Like, if you see all the promo those guys are doing, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, they've been putting making a lot of noise out there. No pun intended. So basically the point of this, I just wanted to get to the fact that, you know, I appreciate your content creating skills. I appreciate the people behind, I guess you would call them the face, right? Like, I feel like there's a lot of you, like not you personally, but there's a lot of people like you who are super talented, but don't always jump to the camera or to the video right away. I know I see you making your way there. It's bound to happen, and you deserve to be there. But I'm just saying, I appreciate the people who do those things. So it's like, I just wanted to make sure we highlighted that, like the content creator side of you, whether it's articles, videos, you know, Ray's show, whatever it is, like you're really talented at it and I appreciate it. And I just want to make sure people are respecting that side of you, Jordan. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, man. And I appreciate you. And I've even told you a few things that you should do and to expand your content creation, because you are really good at what you do. And there's certain times where I'm sure I'm going to reach out to you and ask for your assistance on things, because you yourself have your own creative abilities that haven't been tapped in yet. And so I would definitely, you know, like I told you before, to exercise that in the video side and doing more than just the audio, which you're already so good at.
Yeah. So I guess I need to find a Jordan, basically.
Nah, man, you can do it. Trust me. It's easier than you think it is. All right. Get Josh and Adam to pick their weight up a little bit.
Yeah. Right? That's what I'm saying, dude. Finally, someone comes on the show and says it.
If you only knew.
Nah, they do great stuff. All right. All right. So cool. So everyone gets, we all got an idea who Jordan is now. If you didn't already know, the man behind all these, you know, he's like, you know, the guy behind the scenes making all these things happen in all kinds of places. And we make sure he's getting credit for it. But what we're here to talk about, Jordan, Adam, Josh, Scott Fishbowl is happening right now. Matter of fact, crazy thing. We did not plan this. Nobody yell, nobody scream, but all three of us are actually on the clock right now. So as I was prepping for this, I get the alert on Twitter. I'm getting DM'd. I'm on the clock. People are hitting hearts on it to try to raise my attention. So I'm on the clock right now. Adam's on the clock right now. I think Josh is on the clock. So I want to do that really quick. Like, I don't really want to hold these people up anymore. So how about we talk through it? And I think it's pretty interesting that we could do that right here on the show. What do you guys think?
Hell yeah, man. I'm down with that.
All right. So let's do that. Who wants to go first? Who's been waiting the longest?
I think I should get to, because I'm only in the third round.
All right. So you go first. Sure. So what do you have already, Josh?
I have Travis Kelce and Austin Eckler.
All right. So what are you thinking here, man?
Okay. So I've got my options narrowed down by position. Kirk Cousins is out there. He would be my QB1. Okay.
He went in the sixth round of my draft. I'll just interrupt you. Okay. I'm just gonna interrupt you when you say nonsense.
That's good to know. DJ Moore, Chris Godwin is also on the board, but I would take DJ Moore at wide receiver.
Okay.
Jonathan Taylor is out there, and that's the one that I can't really like.
You can't shake.
I don't feel like I have a real good idea of what he's gonna give me. And then Darren Waller is also out there at tight end. So it's Waller, Jonathan Taylor, DJ Moore, or Cousins.
If I had to guess, Jordan is going to say Jonathan Taylor.
What's crazy to me is, how do you not mention Julio Jones, man?
Oh.
He is not that high in my wide receiver ranks.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, okay. Yeah. Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay.
Josh isn't good at this. Sorry, Jordan.
He might actually be gone, and that's why I'm not talking about
it. No, he's available.
Oh, Jordan's got
you. He's below. It's DJ Moore, bro.
So are you going to take DJ Moore then, Josh?
I am so excited to watch Teddy Bridgewater throw for 5,000 yards this year, Josh. It's going to be so cool. So crazy.
Josh, you taking DJ Moore or what, man?
I don't know if it's DJ Moore, Kirk Cousins –
Kirk Cousins. Oh man.
No way, Kirk Cousins. There's no way.
Why is that a no way?
Why won't you take Matt Ryan?
Well,
it's Cousins over Ryan because Ryan gets sacked so much.
Oh my gosh.
But
the Cousins, volume though, like he could go for 5K and 40 touchdowns.
Kirk Cousins plays to the format, and he underachieved in the touchdown area last year. So Kirk Cousins, I've got him back to back, so it's not like we have a big disagreement here. Okay, yeah, QB 6 and 7 at 308 is where I'm picking. That's usually where the QB 15 has finished. So, like, it's very easy to justify a quarterback at 308.
But especially Josh, that would be like going to normal PPR league, going overall point scorer and drafting based upon that list.
Yeah,
I understand. Obviously, quarterback is pushed up in a league like this, but you can't overinflate it. And I think that's what you're doing with Cousins, especially just based upon where he's going in other leagues. Like, even considering him in the third round is just you could easily wait longer.
I'm happy to do that. So then it's more Taylor or Waller.
For me it's Waller, even though people are going to say it's early, but I'm going to say Waller, and then if anyone disagrees or has a strong opinion on one of the other two, Moore or Taylor, feel free to tell Josh. And then Josh,
Waller had 256 last year. He outscored DJ Moore, who had only 222.
I mean, I can't say it's not Julio or Chris Godwin, but yeah, Waller is the one that Chris Josh Godwin will hit draft on.
I was prepared to do Josh, DJ Moore versus Godwin, and I would die on that.
Please let me do some DJ Moore side bets.
I will do
DJ Moore against Chris Godwin. I will do DJ Moore against Julio Jones.
I'll do DJ
Moore against basically anybody.
Josh,
it's DJ Moore.
Take DJ Moore right now, Josh. Tell these guys what's up.
You should. It sounds very on brand for you, and it's the least crazy.
Okay, listen. DJ Moore versus Chris Godwin. DJ Moore was 10th in targets. Godwin was 17th. Moore was 13th in air yards. Godwin was 27th.
Is that in per game or total?
I believe it would be per game. But I'm not.
Yeah,
because
Godwin,
sure.
He missed, I think, two games, right? Where I'm pretty sure that DJ played 16.
Josh, do you want us to come back to you while you sulk over it?
No, I'm not sulking over anything. It is definitely DJ Moore. But take Godwin. Godwin outperformed his volume to the extent of like Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, T.Y. Hilton, Eric Decker, guys that are prolific touchdown scorers. Is that who Chris Godwin is?
I mean, he could be. What you see as an indictment, a lot of people would see as a skill set, but to each their own. I mean, that's the idea with regression, is if you always assume everyone's going to regress, that doesn't work either. So while I think that there is regression baked in, especially with the quarterback change, it's still a Bruce Arians offense. And Chris Godwin plays a role that's more similar to what Brady has had success with previously than Mike Evans does, or than any of the other weapons on that offense do. So I don't know how you don't have Chris Godwin way higher. I mean, even if you just did projections, like if you sat down and did projections for a team, the Buccaneers are projected to throw the ball probably 100 more times than the Panthers. Based off of trends. I mean,
but DJ Moore gets He gets more volume than Chris Godwin does.
But at that high of a rate to make up for that. I mean, I get the argument. They're obviously
the difference
close.
Was just efficiency. And I cannot tell myself that Chris Godwin is actually so much better than DJ Moore that the difference in efficiency is justified.
Okay.
I think they could easily swap efficiencies, and DJ Moore has the volume.
All right, so your league mate says Julio should be your pick. I actually am with Godwin, because that's why I actually took him my league too before Waller. So me and Adam are on Godwin. Who are you going to take, Josh? This is the moment.
I'm going to take DJ Moore.
Take him, buddy. Take him.
Love it.
I'm doing it. Locking it in.
Hey, listen, Jordan, it just got even easier for you, buddy.
Man, I, to me, Julio's, I don't know how you can't project him for 160 targets. I just, I don't know, man. It's, listen, and if he booms, what's he going for if he booms? 2K? I don't know, I mean, man. It's tough.
I think Julio, like, if we're Julio just talking yardage, just from a yardage perspective, Julio's floor is DJ Moore's ceiling, like 100%. Like, DJ Moore is not going for 1,400 yards this year, and Julio has only had one season under 1,400. I mean, it's going to only be touchdowns, and in a format like this, I don't think that's as important.
Okay, here's my answer to Julio. Julio was at 249 last year. DJ Moore was at 222, so we're talking about 20 points on the year, okay? If you look at players in Julio's year of experience who had the year Julio had, there's a lot more downside than up. Whereas if you look at DJ Moore comparable players, there is a lot of upside. So Julio is not as safe as people think.
No, I agree with what you're saying. But one thing that I just, like, if you really think that Joe Brady is that good, like, if you really, really believe that, take DJ Moore. But I just don't know if you're just playing, like, when Scott Fishbowl, you can play the crazy upside if you want. But in the early rounds, you kind of want to play it safe. You want to tailor your team to volume because it's going to be consistent week over week. And there may be a week where DJ Moore just gets shut down by Marshawn Lattimore. So that doesn't happen to Julio Jones. No one shuts down Julio Jones. It just doesn't happen. And so if you want a guy who's going to get you 80 yards a game for his career, you know, like, why would you take that? Why wouldn't you take that? Yeah, I get the volume play with Moore, but to me, it's just like Julio is going to be the safer bet. He has the better quarterback. Like, he probably runs in the, and you're talking about the team that also threw the ball the most last year. It could be the Panthers this year, but the Falcons are going to be up there 100%.
So Jordan,
there's no way they're not.
Will you have a chance to draft Julio after this, or are you already done for this round?
No, I'm done for the round. Oh, okay. I already took LF earlier.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, Josh, you make your pick of DJ Moore. Adam, what's your situation, buddy?
Oh, you want me to go next? Remember, I'm farthest along in my draft.
All right. So let me go for next. I'm up right now. I have taken so far, I'm the 12th pick in the draft. I took Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry back to back. And then I took Chris Godwin and Darren Waller back to back. So I have two running backs, a wide receiver.
For the record, I like your start the most out of all of us.
Awesome. So I have two running backs, a wide receiver, and a tight end. I'm at a point where I feel like I should take a quarterback. I might even take two quarterbacks right now just to knock them out and not worry about them again, because I feel safe at running back. No one is crazy to me here at this point at running back left because everyone took them all. The best running back left to me is probably like a Mark Ingram, you know, depending on what you think about him. DeAndre Swift, depending on the situation. Again, these guys all got rookies to deal with, or they are rookies, one or the other. So that's the running back options really for me at this point that I even would consider. At wide receiver, it would be a guy like DJ Chark that I would like a lot at this point. But the wide receivers to me are too deep for me to still go that way because I just like so many guys that I don't feel the need to reach. So my personal opinion and what I'm probably going to do regardless of what you guys say is you guys are going to think this is crazy, but Derek Carr, right? Because I love Derek Carr in this scoring last year. If we use the same scoring, he was one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And I think he's going to do better than he did last year with this scoring. And then I need another one, and Tannehill is still available. And he was another one that's a safe quarterback performance-wise, did good production. I don't have to worry about all the crap that this scoring messes with quarterbacks. So that's where I'm probably going to go, Tannehill and Carr. Who disagrees with me here on a major level? Anybody?
So just for reference, in my league, because we are a little further along, Tannehill went in the middle of the fifth.
Okay.
Derek Carr is still available, but only two quarterbacks have been drafted since then. So they're still relatively close as far as like in how they're falling in the quarterback rankings. Right. ADP-wise, looks like Goff's been drafted in two drafts. Carr's been drafted in two drafts.
I'm the back of the fifth round right now. Last pick in the fifth round, first pick of the sixth round.
Yeah, I understand feeling the urgency of wanting to take a quarterback there because you don't want to get caught on a run.
Right, because last year I had no quarterbacks. I was literally starting guys like Joe Flacco last year.
Yeah, no, I get it, especially being at the 12 spot. I mean, that's a lot of picks before it's going to come back to you. So, yeah, I mean, it's really whoever you feel strongest with there. You said Tannehill and Carr are kind of the two you're debating.
Right. So if I had to, like, think of anyone besides those names that intrigue me, of course, is Cam Newton, just because of the way he gets around on his legs. There's, like, Daniel Jones, if you think he's going to have, like, a big jump this year, or Drew Lock, you know, with all the weapons. Do you guys see any of these guys? A full year of Minshew. Do you feel any strongly about these guys that you would pass up on, like, guys that are, like, safe but strong bets in this scoring of Carr and Tannehill?
So, who are the other running back names? I heard Ingram.
Yeah, Ingram. And then there's, like, the rookies are there, like, you know, Swift, Akers, Vaughn, Singletary, Hunt's there. You know, that Geis, I guess, if you trust that. I'm not dealing with that, though. So that's basically, you know, Ronald Jones, James White, you know, Cohen, Mac, stuff like that. I just don't feel strong enough. I could take any one of those guys and feel fine in, you know, two rounds from now, whatever. But yeah, quarterback, I feel like, is the most pressing need, and it'll give me, you know, I'll feel secure. Cause like I said, last year I was burned so bad at quarterback, that I don't want to be put in that situation again. And these two are like I said, if you look at last year's scoring, I know they're not fantasy darlings by any means, but if you look at last year's Scott Fishbowl scoring with the production they put up last year, they're both like, I think they're both might've been in the top 10 actually. At quarterback.
I have it right in front of me. I'll pull it up in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I believe that.
I think you're at a point where, like, the value at quarterback is too good.
Yeah. So Derek Carr was 8, and Tannehill was 11. And every quarterback who was above them is gone already.
Yeah, Tannehill was 6 from a point per game standpoint. Yeah. Derek Carr was 12th. The only one that, to me, has some consideration is Cam. I'm going to be talking about Cam in a second, though, going much later.
Yeah.
And you can probably wait on Cam and get him later. But he's someone who I think presents potentially more upside than either of those. The floor is probably a little bit more volatile, but I accept a volatile floor in a, you know, league like the Scott Fishbowl, because you're trying to play to make the best possible lineup. So I don't know, like, just from, like, a game theory standpoint, I'm kind of crazy, and if I had that start like you did, I'd probably keep waiting at quarterback. But yeah, I mean, I get the feeling of if you wait any longer, I mean, you're going to be left with potential scraps. I don't know, though. I mean, I've seen quarterbacks slow down a lot in my draft personally, so I don't know. I mean, through the last almost 2 full rounds, we've only seen one quarterback go in the 6th and 7th round, and in the 5th, we only saw 3.
Yeah.
So we've had 4 quarterbacks go in the 5th, 6th, 7th rounds.
All right.
So I don't know. I mean, obviously, every draft's going to flow different.
Yeah. I'm going to make this pick more than likely. But Jordan, you haven't said anything yet. I'm just curious your thoughts before I do so. I like to believe that, you know, I like to believe that quarterbacks aren't going anymore in his draft because they're just not worth it. And I think these guys are worth it. But that's my opinion. What would you do here, Jordan?
I think I would double up because you really can't afford to wait. Yeah. And if you do double up, the hope is you start a run too on top of that. Because if people are counting on those guys to not get drafted till later and they're hoping they slip to them, if you snap them both up, then people are going to start to panic a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, and part of it too is just knowing your league, right? If your league is not really QB happy, at some point there's going to be a run. Who knows when it's going to be? You want to at least have one. And if you can grab two, you might as well, based on who you already have. Like, I would consider Ingram if you want to kind of get a guy who has some safe volume more than likely. But I think the QBs are more worth it.
Yeah. And you guys trust Tannehill? Does anyone have any concern about Tannehill? Like,
I have some concern, but
not really.
I love that you two are, like, disagreeing on everything.
Well, it's a thing that he is a late career breakout, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's a big problem. He's right back in the same situation.
Yeah.
Do you view him much different than Cousins, though? Because to me, that's kind of the same comparable, right? It's a low volume offense. He's a pretty accurate passer. He may not get crazy yards like he did last year, but he's probably not going to turn the ball over, probably not going to get sacked, rely on the run game. You know, like, he should be a steady contributor week after week. He may just not boom for you some weeks, but you never know. Obviously, last year he did a lot, so we'll see.
Yeah,
so they're very comparable situations. Like, I don't have the same Jekyll and Hyde kind of worries that I have about Cousins, but also Tannehill runs the ball a little more, so maybe they are pretty comparable.
Got it. All right, yeah. Guys. Well, I am making those picks. I'm not going to wait any longer. I appreciate everyone's input, and I got the two quarterbacks. So
you went Tannehill and Carr?
Tannehill and Carr.
All right. Like it.
Balling out,
so
baby.
I'm probably in a similar quarterback situation. I've waited quite a bit. My draft is very far along for the Scott Fishbowl, having started just today. I'm about to make my pick on the clock at the 7:11. So we might even come around and get the 8:02 at some point while we're recording as well. But so far what my draft looks like is I've got a quarterback, wide receiver, and tight end, and three running backs. I started Dalvin Cook, Drew Brees, Darren Waller, Kenny Galladay, Mark Ingram, and then Chris Carson. With what I'm looking at right now, I feel like I probably have to go quarterback with one of these two picks, even though I don't know, maybe they've stopped drafting quarterbacks, but there's one owner in my league that hasn't drafted any quarterback yet, and there's five other owners that have only drafted one quarterback. So I feel like the potential for a quarterback to make it all the way back to me that has really any chance of being more than just like a plug-and-play option in this league is pretty low. What I'm currently staring at quarterback, because I think that's probably where I'm going to be making my decision, is a lot of the same people that Neil was just decided between. Tannehill, sadly, is gone. He probably would be my pick here. But the other options that I personally like are Carr, Cam Newton, Jimmy Garoppolo. That's probably it. I mean, Joe Burrow, if I want to have fun. I don't know. There's a sick part of me that really wants to draft Cam and then get Burrow on the way back and just go YOLO. I really, like, it's the sickest part of my brain. But, you know, it's also the part that thought that Kyler Murray last year could be a top five quarterback.
Hey, I think it
doesn't
like
always work out.
as much as I think we could sit here and talk ourselves into Cam, like we shouldn't pay more than we have to for him.
That's the thing though, is I don't see Cam coming all the way back. I mean, I'm at the end. I don't expect him to come back 20 something picks when one person hasn't drafted any quarterback yet. I've got another five behind me that have only drafted one. Four behind me, five total. But yeah, it just, I don't know. I don't see that coming back, and I don't know how much I like those other options more than him.
Jordan, what do you think about his idea of Cam right now? Like in your opinion, if this was you, is this way too early for you, or is this, new player type of, you know, excitement for his new team? Like, how do you feel about it?
Honestly, I hope Cam gets cut, and I mean that 100%.
Why?
Why?
What?
Because I'm a Patriots fan, man. I don't want them to win. I want them to lose.
What? Wait,
what? But if we're talking fantasy.
Wait, you're a Patriots fan, so you want
for the draft picks.
So I want Trevor Lawrence, man. Oh, okay, crazy? Gotcha. I don't want Cam Newton.
Oh, well, yeah.
But no, from a fantasy point, I find it hard. And
we're never
because, like,
gonna
I was
take
in the best ball,
last
actually.
The league, though. Sorry. Just the idea that Patriots are last in the NFL with a Bill Belichick offense. I mean, but anyway.
Bill Belichick's running the offense, they might be in last place. It's hard for me to take Cam right now. Like, I was even in the best ball, and I thought about it, and he went pretty late. He went like 11th or 12th round, but I find it hard to take him because I don't even know if he's the starting quarterback. Like, as much as people want to say, oh, he's definitely the star, they wouldn't bring him if he's not, like, it's still Bill Belichick, man. Like, he might just say, he doesn't know the system well enough and cut him. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities. And while, to your point, it's not as much of a risk, I think if you do take Cam, you should take someone like Carr as well to kind of have some safety with some upside. Shooting just upside if you want to be dangerous, go for it. But it's tough. It's tough to do that, especially in Scott Fishbowl.
Yeah, so I guess that kind of plays to your point, Adam, as far as taking another quarterback like a Joe Burrow or a Carr and then getting Cam coming back around or vice versa, like just as a safety valve. You know what I mean? If they all work out, awesome. And then if not, like, you know, at least you got a backup. But do you want to do that at this point in the draft is kind of the question, you know?
It's tough, too, because it's like I wonder if I just push that down the road, at least, you know, through the turn here and just go elsewhere at the moment and then, you know, see.
That's what I'm
saying. Because I don't think that there's anything that really distinguishes any of the rest of them. I think Cam has a ceiling, and that's why I like him. I don't think the rest of those quarterbacks have ceilings.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think you're way overestimating the market on Cam. Like, I'm not even going to argue that Cam isn't over Carr. I just think he's coming back.
Oh, well, I'm just literally going off of the SFB ADP so far. And obviously, it's only going to be reflective of drafts that have been completed up to that part so far. So if Cam's gone, he's probably gone earlier. But, like, that's really all I have to go off of. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough to know if he would come all the way back there. But I understand what you're saying in regards to he doesn't present value at this point. He presents value if he were to last there.
Right.
So, yeah, that makes a little bit more sense. So just for conversation's sake, the other options that looked enticing are basically at wide receiver and tight end. At tight end, Austin Hooper and Rob Gronkowski would probably be the top of my board. And then at wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton jumps out, as well as Brandon Cooks, Stephon Diggs, A.J. Green, Julian Edelman, depending. I really don't know what to expect of Julian Edelman this year. Yeah, I don't know.
Adam, I think you need to consider the backwards Cam stack that starts with Julian Edelman.
See, I like the way your mind works right now, Josh, but that's a problem because I don't ever agree with you, so this can't be good.
What would you do, Jordan?
I think I would stick with the QBs, man. Like, it's hard to get QBs eventually in Scott Fish. Like, at some point, it just drops off the map, and you can't get stuck without them.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's true in regards to at least drafting one QB here. My thing is I don't really see much that differentiates between these, so I'm at least going to let the turn select and then take quarterback probably on the way back here, which is why I'm, like, pivoting and seeing if there's value elsewhere to kind of swoop in at.
Do you like Diggs?
I don't.
I don't like
Diggs. I think I probably don't see why.
It's tough.
I think it's a tough situation with Diggs. I think I see regression for Josh Allen. I think even if he doesn't regress, just the targets in that offense are going to get pretty spread out between John Brown and the other options that they have. I mean, I don't know. I feel less confident in Diggs. Like, from a target standpoint up there, I think T.Y. Hilton and Julian Edelman probably get the most targets. Brandon Cooks, potentially. Those are really the only ones. What's that?
You don't want to take Brandon Cooks, man. He'll just get concussed and you'll be upset about that.
It's all right. I don't get triggered.
I really think it's Edelman, man.
Yeah,
237 points in this format.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just Tom Brady. We have no idea what's going to happen in that
Tom Brady
dangerous game.
So good that he dragged Edelman along.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I see what you're doing, Josh, and I like it because once I draft Edelman, it's a lot easier to talk myself into Cam. I get
this
the logic,
way.
And I love every second of it.
If you want a stack, I mean, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
I don't hate that.
Do
you want to just go for the full stack?
Yeah, I want to go for the full stack, guys. I just hit draft player on Julian Edelman. Thank you. That was fun.
Perfect. So now we can move on from our teams and our draft that we were caught in the middle of during this podcast. Let it be a warning. We did not prepare that. Jordan, before we move on to some of the other questions really quick that we have, because I didn't want to get too busy and caught up in a show sheet today just because of everything that's going on with Scott Fishbowl. I feel like it's just there's so much for us to talk about. Just for the listeners, because I don't know if we talked about it on air, what team do you have right now? What have you drafted?
I have Ezekiel Elliott at 105, 208. I took Kyler Murray, and then 305. I took Leonard Fournette.
So two running backs.
So pretty solid base and for Scott Fishbowl, two running backs, a quarterback.
Yeah. And what do you think you're going to do next? I mean, obviously you have to see what comes to you, and you weren't in the middle of it like we were here. But do you have a? I don't want to give away your plan, I guess. But this won't be out before you draft, so who cares? Watch, I put it right out as soon as we end this conversation. Do you have any idea? Like, where you want to go from here? Like, was this your strategy so far, or is this just how it felt to you? Or, like, what are you thinking about going forward right now?
I would say a bit of both. I'm probably looking next between wide receiver and quarterback. Like, if I want to take another quarterback, I may take another running back if the right guy falls. But now, you know, I'm probably looking towards a DJ Shark, a Calvin Ridley, an AJ Brown, you know, a really high upside guy. I mean, I would probably take Ridley myself. I'm really high on him this year.
So you're saying offense. DJ Moore is off the board, right?
He's probably going to be off the board, unfortunately. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, Robert Woods, maybe if he falls for some reason. But we'll see kind of how the board falls. I mean, for all I know, Kenny G might be there. Amari Cooper might be there.
Yeah.
Well, there could be a lot of guys who are there because our draft has faded wide receivers a lot. So, I mean, we'll see. It's pretty surprising. There's been quite a few QBs and running backs go, but like Julio's still on the board. And what are we at now? The turn 312?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Doesn't make sense. But hey, that's the beauty about Scott Fishbowl. That's the like one of the special things about Scott Fishbowl is there's no right or wrong way to approach this, and there's no league that's going to be the same, any division that's going to be the same. Like it's just pure crazy, and that's why you know like as soon as like you make certain picks, sometimes people are like, oh, I like that player that you grabbed, but like seemed a little early. And like for me, it's like I want to get the guy that I like, and I know that if I wait any longer, like this guy is probably not going to be here again. So like in Scott Fishbowl style, I want to go, you know, I want to go out on my shield, man. I don't want to go out on, you know, whatever other people think I should do or ADP and stuff like that. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Do you ever check though after to see like, did you get a player really late or did you take a guy too early? Because no, you know they come up with like, I forget who does it, has like the stats and everything of when guys were taken and all that stuff.
Yeah, I definitely check.
Yeah, actually, I'll give him a shout out because he does it every year. It's Josh Hornsby or at Josh ADHD on Twitter. It's through Roto Grinders now. And, yeah, it's the Scott Fishbowl 10 app. And, I mean, it's got ADP. I mean, he tracks everything in real time. I have no idea how he's programmed this whole thing, but it's fantastic, and it probably took him, like, nothing. No, I like to assume he put in a ton of effort because it surely looks like it.
Yeah, it is super cool. Like, he has all kinds of cool, like stuff on there, like, you know, latest QB1 or longest wide receiver run. And, like, he has all this cool stuff on there. So, like, it's definitely, you know, really cool to check out. And no doubt, I'll even go there before I pick sometimes just to see what, you know, what's happening, what's, you know, shaking and moving out there on Scott Fishbowl. But yeah, it's cool. And so we'll be interested. Hopefully you'll update us, Jordan, or I'm sure Josh will be whining and crying about you in the chat. You know, who you end up taking.
Absolutely.
It was uncalled for.
If he gets Julio Jones, I'll be pretty mad.
I mean, if he lasts till the fifth round.
Not happening. Disrespectful. This guy's about as disrespectful as gets, Jordan. We normally have a bunch of segments on the show. I do have some stuff for those segments. I still want to do those segments, even though we got all caught up in Scott Fishbowl, because that's what's so relevant right now. Trust issues, Jordan. It's a segment we do on the show every week. I have a couple of them for you guys. I'm curious. We kind of talked about some of these guys already, but the first trust issue, I'm going to throw a statement at you guys. You tell me whether you trust it or whether you have trust issues with it. This guy we've talked about a lot because of Adam. Cam Newton could be a league winner in Scott Fishbowl. Do you guys trust that, or do you have trust issues with that? Start with you, Jordan.
I definitely trust that. Cam Newton's shown the ability to be a top five quarterback, honestly, year in and year out at times. His rushing floor is crazy. He'll run. He'll pass pretty well. He likes big receivers. They have one in N'Keal Harry. You know, if he can find some chemistry with Edelman, maybe the new tight ends kind of help add a bit to that offense. It's definitely not out of the realm of possibilities. It's just, is that risk worth it in Scott Fishbowl?
Right.
And that's where I'm not sure, but I definitely trust that he can be, like, there's the possibility he could be a league winner. Just now the possibility is maybe a bit lower than we hoped going into the season, right?
Right. Yeah, we're a very pro Cam group here. I would say that I think, like we kind of mentioned here before, is like, where is the value on Cam, right? And I think he's going to be one of those guys that in some division is going to go super low, or at least super low compared to the other divisions. And that person will be at an advantage. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing that kind of annoys you sometimes, or it's kind of like, you know, the cool side of Scott Fish. I don't know which way you want to look at it as far as it's a good thing or a bad thing. But you do see like a player going your league and like round three, and then another league, it's like round seven. And you're like, God, the value that people got for this guy, it's like, how do I make up that ground? You know what I mean? So that's what I think is interesting with Cam Newton, is like, who's gonna, what division is gonna get him the latest and, like, you know, increase that value. But Josh, Adam, I'm assuming you guys both trust that he could be a winner in leagues, a league winner.
Yeah, the potential exists for sure.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, I think that what you said there is entirely true in the Scott Fishbowl, and it's like, it's the hardest element of it is when you have any contest that has this many leagues, the people who are going to be most successful late in the playoffs are going to be people who are able to draft players that boom while being drafted at the lowest possible ADP. So it is, it's like this weird balancing act. Because if you remember, Neil, what you just said before that was, like, this is a league where you almost want to reach to get your guys because you don't want to miss out on your guys in this league. So it's this interesting balancing act a lot of times, and I definitely am feeling it too, because Cam Newton, for instance, is one of my guys from the conversation we just got done having. But it makes you wonder, like, is there the value in, you know, watching to see if anyone else feels that same way? It's just tough because when you're in a room with 11 other people drafting, the likelihood that someone else has the same thought about a player that you do is probably pretty high.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be fun to see how these all play out. And of course, we'll update everyone on our teams going forward and just outliers and things that are interesting. And we'll have to reference the site from Josh that he has.
Actually, there. I hate to interrupt, but I guess we should circle back because I'm about to draft Cam Newton, guys.
Did I tell you he was coming back?
Damn,
that's awesome. Came back on the clock. Well, of course he was coming back there, but I didn't expect it to come back from the 8 through the 9 and all the way back. But yeah, so I just paired up Cam with Julian Edelman there, and YOLO, guys.
Log out.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see. Will you be the earliest person who drafted Cam, do you think?
Definitely not. There's already been people who have drafted Cam.
All right, gotcha.
I could probably tell you in 2 seconds who the earliest was or how early the earliest was.
Okay.
Not 2 seconds. I'm vamping now. My computer's
I like that slightly. Stack, though. It's good.
Yeah,
it's I do, too. I mean, it's one of those situations where if Cam's successful, Julian Edelman will be successful. Like, it'll be weird if one's successful and the other's not. It's basically I hit on that offense and they actually click, or it doesn't click. And, you know, at that point in the Scott Fishbowl, for me, it's like it's try to go big or really just, you know, let it be what it's going to be. So this is that shot.
Yeah. You got the information there, or should I move on, Adam, for when Cam?
No, yeah. Cam Newton, the highest. Yeah, the highest that he went actually was 43rd. So, yeah, that's fourth round.
Interesting.
So somebody liked him a lot more than I did, taking him in, what's this now?
That's seventh, wild, man.
Yeah. Or eighth.
So there you go. There's some value for that person. Yeah. That person's gonna look at you and go, "Damn, he got good value." That's what I'm talking about. All right. The next trust issue that I have here, Gronk will finish as a top five tight end in Scott Fishbowl. Trust or trust issues, Jordan?
I think I got trust issues on that. I think he could have it from a touchdown perspective, but the issue may just be the volume, and we don't really know what he has in the tank, and is he going to be heavily targeted? It's hard to say, man. Like, Brady loves him, and so I could see him getting, like, 10, 12 touchdowns, but is that only on, you know, 30, 40 receptions? And does that make him top five? I mean, maybe, I guess, but I just don't know if he can make it happen on what I assume will be low volume, I guess. It's,
right.
Depends on whether or not you can think, like, he gets the volume. I think touchdowns will be there, more than likely.
The Brady love buys you a late career Antonio Gates season.
Yeah, it does. There is something there. Like, it takes away, like, your concern of Gronk. Like, you're like, well, Brady's been throwing to him his whole life. Like, there's clearly a connection here. They're one of the best duos as far as quarterback tight end that's ever been. So it's like, it's hard to imagine a place or a situation where Gronk, unless, you know, is not healthy for some reason, is not relevant. You know what I mean? Like, with Brady. Like, it just, if it was any other quarterback, any other team, whatever, you're like, who knows? But, like, when it's Brady, you're like, how can he not look at Gronk's way all the time? Like, it's going to be interesting, you know? Adam, do you trust it top five or
yeah,
too far?
I do trust it. I mean, it kind of stinks to be in the middle of the Scott Fishbowl right now, but I hope my league's not listening. but yeah, no, I think I trust it big time, honestly. I think the upside is gigantic. Yeah. The reality is – something is going to break on that offense. It's going to either be Gronk or it's going to be Mike Evans or it's going to be Chris Godwin. So, like, I kind of understand what Josh was saying before that there's downside to Chris Godwin because something's going to give there. I mean, if the reality is if something doesn't, then Tom Brady is a top three quarterback somehow, which the math is just not going to make sense. So the most likely one from you know, outside perspective is going to be Gronk. He was just out of the league for a year. He's coming back.
Right.
But I think that even if they use Gronk on like a limited snap count, the utilization of him is going to be as someone who's constantly used in the red zone and on third down.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're going to be putting him in to be throwing to him. They're going to be putting him in to utilize him. So while I think that like his snap counts could be far below what you'd want from somebody who's a, you know, top 12 or, you know, potentially top six tight end, I think that he's someone who, just because of his rapport and the heavy passing volume on that offense, could see, you know, double digit touchdowns, and it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, like Jordan said, that's for sure. Yeah, anyone I've seen people say, oh, I'm afraid that they brought him there to block. You're wrong. They didn't bring him there to block. Get real.
Andrew's already a good blocker.
I can't stand people who say something like that. I'm like, I'm a little concerned they brought him here to block more than catch the ball. Like,
are you guys worried he's too thin, though? Has he added that way back?
Too thin.
That guy's skinny now. He looks like a wide receiver.
It's funny, man.
A slow wide receiver at that. Jesus.
We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But he definitely will be blocking, like, not catching the ball. All right, the last one I have here is just a funny. It's not football related, but do you guys have trust or trust issues with people who start off their sentences or conversations with you and they say, I'm not going to lie, or if we're being honest? Trust or trust issues, Jordan?
I actually do trust that because I do that a lot.
I never know how to look at it whenever someone says that. I'm like, well, were you not being honest before? Were you lying before? Like, I don't understand why we preface that. I think it's just a thing, right? But I'm just curious. Like, does anyone here get a little, you know, skeptical when they hear someone say that?
I think they're just trying to brace you for what they think is about to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know. I do it too. I mean, I think it's kind of like having ums or buts or uhs in your speech. Like, it's one of those things that you just kind of fall back on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. If we're being honest, I think you're right.
Not gonna lie, I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, not gonna lie, I was full of shit before, but this is for real.
It's a weird thing to say. It is. Like, come on, man. It is. It's like you asking, hey, Jordan, who do you think Josh should draft, DJ Moore or Julio Jones? I'm not gonna lie, if we're being honest here, I think you should draft DJ Moore. It's like, what are you prepping me for, man? Yeah. Anyway, all right,
heartbreak.
Exactly. All right, let's move over to foul or no foul. Again, anyone new who's just listening, because content creator, fantasy analyst, other part of the duo of Destination Debbie Jordan is here. Jordan, tell those people who are listening, just because you're here, to subscribe right now.
Man, they better subscribe to the YouTube channel, and you better use the promo code ALLGAS. That's when right. Fade the Noise launches on 7/7/2020.
They better.
Man, they're going to – I'm telling you, I've seen some of the shit they're doing. I'm actually going to their website later today. It's going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to let you plug more of it later, but I did want to ask you, like, for when you guys are going to that, is it like a different show, or is it going to be what you guys are doing, just slapping FTN on it?
So, have you guys seen the new show doc I made?
I don't know if I have. I don't think so.
Damn, bro. Oh, fuck. These guys, man. The disrespect.
Have you on the show? I didn't do research.
But basically what what happened was, once they approached Ray about it, they came up with the idea to change the show doc to like match their colors, add their logo. So I pretty much just changed the show doc a little bit to match their colors, mm-hmm. And then added their logo, and that's pretty much it. Then I made a custom intro, little title sequence for them for that, and that's honestly basically it. It's just a sponsored show.
Okay.
It'll be featured on their website and stuff, so it'll be on the fantasy website. And then I think I don't know if I'm breaking news here, but I think Ray's gonna do the first show with Brad Evans. Maybe I'm leaking a little bit of info there, but you know, a little exclusive. So we'll see.
We tend to get exclusives here at Clock Dodgers.
There you go, man.
And subscribe to the Patreon too, right?
Yeah, we got our Patreon, patreon.com/ALLGAS. We have, I think, 70 patrons right now.
Fire.
But yeah, that place is crazy. If you want to talk Devi, Dynasty, college football, like lots of really smart, knowledgeable people in there. Lots and lots. So yeah. There's tons of stuff out there.
Sounds fire.
We're everywhere, man.
You
We're
are.
Everywhere
now. You are. It's true.
It'll be hard. It'll be Ray's everywhere, and it'll be hard not to find me everywhere soon. That's the hope, anyways.
That's the kind of confidence I like right there. You hear that, Josh?
I heard it.
You heard it. I need you on the intro like that, Josh.
I just can't. I'm sorry.
That is the kind of energy I need.
I need an intro fluffer.
How about this? Jordan, we have two options here. One, I can always introduce Josh on a podcast and you actually talk and say you're Josh, or you give Josh coaching lessons on the side.
Nah, I can't teach confidence. You gotta
come on. This guy.
Just tear my heart out.
He shot his shot at Ray and slid into the DMs, and now he's telling us he can't give confidence lessons. This
man,
is ridiculous.
I just saw many internet GIFs fly through my mind when that happened.
Oh, man, the followers I'm getting these days, whoo!
Oh, man.
A little famous.
Fire emoji.
I'm not going to drop names, but if you want to go into my followers, they're getting a little bit better.
This is
getting a little bit better.
This is Josh, come with this energy, buddy. Come with this energy. I need Josh, next time I introduce you, say, did you guys see who followed me today? I'm not even going to announce myself. I'm Josh. Check who followed me. That's it. All right.
Just check my followers.
Just check the followers.
You might just see some shit names there.
Google me.
I'm just not sure I have that in me.
You're gonna have it in you, Josh. You're gonna have it in you.
Let's move on. Let's just get off this. I'm gonna fucking do it today.
This is my day. Exactly. Like before the next podcast, you need to like listen to some like motivational shit, like something crazy.
What? How did this happen? How did we?
You
get
just
on?
Need to just.
This is the worst derailment this podcast has ever suffered.
I told you I wouldn't be invited back.
Listen, no, you're invited back.
Realize it was because you're gonna like.
Listen, Josh, we are putting you on a Tony Robbins regiment every day before the party.
There you go, Tony Robbins.
Perfect. All right, let's move over to Foul or No Foul.
I need Gary V energy.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move over to Foul or No Foul. Josh will not be on the next episode of Foul or No Foul. No, I'm just kidding. All right, first one here. Patrick Mahomes will be worth every penny of his new contract. Jordan, you're gonna go first. For anyone who doesn't know, Jordan is going to say foul if he does not agree with that statement. He's going to say no foul if he does agree with it. Jordan, Patrick Mahomes will be worth every damn penny of his new contract. Foul or no foul?
No foul. He's going to make that money back for them this year. Another Super Bowl.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Anyone disagree?
I don't see how he's not.
Exactly.
Dude's worth it, man. He's a superstar.
No foul, and to get into the semantics of it, like stretching this out over 10 years is actually good for them because the salary cap goes up over that time. So even though the salary looks gigantic now because of how they're able to backload it, it's not even going to be that bad for them. I mean, he's obviously going to be the most paid quarterback in the NFL, but like in regards to how it's structured, this isn't terrible for the Chiefs as a franchise.
Yeah, I mean,
forget when the cap goes up. Is it 2023 is the new TV deal? Because in there, there's going to be a new TV deal. So the salary cap, like the NBA, is going to go through the roof.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you want any kind of idea on why certain teams are bad and certain teams are good, the Chiefs pay one of the best quarterbacks ever this kind of money. The Raiders give coaches contracts like this. So that is what separates good teams from bad teams.
Yeah.
The next foul or no foul.
Hey, there's still time, man. There's what, 7 more years left? Isn't there a website about that? The countdown?
I don't even want to know.
I'm pretty sure someone made a website about that.
The next one.
How much money still?
Well, I'll put a link in the description for everyone to look at it. Philip Lindsay's new role with Melvin Gordon in town will be to transform into the Broncos version of Austin Eckler. Foul or no foul? Jordan.
I think I'm going to say foul.
Oh, you don't believe in him, man.
I never have, honestly. I think I'm a bit of a Philip Lindsay hater.
Disgusting.
He's a good runner, but I don't know if he's going to be a pass-catching weapon the way Austin Eckler was. It's not necessarily his game. He just gets profiled that way because of his size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but he's actually a good runner of the football, and Melvin Gordon's probably a better pass-catcher than he is. So why? I mean, he might, but it's just I don't see it happening. And it's mostly because of his profile and his running style and all of that. He is a good runner. Don't get me wrong. He may have 600, 700 yards, but he's not going to catch like 80 passes. There's no way.
Okay. This is a foul. This is a big foul. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. I thought you'd elaborate on that. I don't know. Do we just say whether it's a foul or no foul and stop talking? Come on, Josh. Get back in the game, bud.
I thought that was rattled.
It's okay. It's going to be good. You got this. Let's go.
It's a big foul because players do not just like suddenly develop elite pass catching ability like what Austin Eckler has. Like, I honestly believe that Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay are probably about the same as far as pass catching, and neither one of them is going to become a Christian McCaffrey-level pass catcher. Like, Melvin Gordon couldn't do it with Danny Woodhead on the field, guys. He's not that great.
Dang. Yeah, the issue at hand is that if you're running a franchise, you do not bring in a Melvin Gordon to continue to give a workload to Phillip Lindsay. So the best you can hope for, I think, is Melvin Gordon getting injured. That being said, I don't think it's going to be a situation where Melvin Gordon's getting like 250 carries. I mean, they're going to have a split backfield there. But I think that what Phillip Lindsay is going to turn into is like Gus Edwards on a poor offense. Like 130 carries for like 4.5 yards per carry. And, you know, he might get 20, 30 catches. But I don't know. Like, I don't feel super confident about that offense. So unless I felt super confident about that offense, I couldn't see them supporting two running backs. And I think everything they've done has shown us that they would favor Melvin Gordon over Phillip Lindsay. Because if you love Lindsay, why bring in anyone else, especially someone of Gordon's caliber, and pay him what they're paying him?
I hate all of you.
Well, that's hard for you.
Not even a small smudge of positivity from you guys. Just beat Phillip Lindsay into the ground. Is there anybody out there who loves Phillip Lindsay like I do? If you are out there, please email me.
I think Phillip Lindsay is a good player. He's just as good as Melvin Gordon.
But how can you still love him, though?
I still love him, man.
His value is so high now.
Listen, when has Phillip Lindsay ever lost? When has he ever lost, man? He's faced all kinds of adversity, and he's always came out on top.
Didn't he lose this offseason?
Oh,
I mean, it's true. Like, everybody hates Jordan Howard, but he seems to produce every year. There's just kind of players like that. But eventually, we think they're going to fall off a cliff. And I think this is, you know, one of those times where all the signs point to even Denver not having faith in him fully. So, I don't know, man. It's tough.
I mean, if you think he can beat out Melvin Gordon, I mean, maybe. But I doubt that's going to happen, you know? Like, it just seems unlikely.
This is like a girl that – this is a girl that told you she had a boyfriend and we're, like, hoping she changes her mind. Like, the Broncos told us that they're dating Melvin Gordon.
Fine, we'll move on. I'll have all the Phillip Lindsay. That's all that matters. The next one is the football team in Washington's new name will be animal related. Foul or no foul, Jordan?
I think that's foul.
You know, they were getting like the Jordan, the Washington Bears or something. Like, oh, there's already a Bears. But you know what I mean? Like,
I think they can come up with something better than that. Animals are a bit played out.
What do you think? It's going to be like
political? I think you get more creative.
What do you think it's going to be?
I mean, that would be cool. The DC Defenders, there's a pretty cool name if you ask me. I mean, that's not a bad name.
So then they're going to lose.
But I like the Red Tails, though. Like, No. Let's just say, but I like the name of the Red Tails. I don't know if you guys have seen the mock-ups for that. I think that's a cool name.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, is the Red Tails. And there's even like a little background before behind the name, and I will butcher it, so I don't even want to like give it. So look it up out there.
Yeah, they were like black pilots, weren't they?
That's exactly why I didn't know for sure exactly the context. Like that. But
I'm no historian either, but something like that.
Yeah,
it is African American related, so people will like that.
Yeah, and Red Tails is so close to the, you know, original name. It kind of holds the same like stylistically. I don't know. It's one of those things where they've needed to change this for so long. I don't really know if, you know, it's at this point, is it a Band-Aid on a bullet wound or is it actually like change?
All depends on how they approach it, right? Is if they, you know, hoot and holler about it, or they just kind of do it, promote it. Like, they're going to make a ton of money off changing it. So I don't know why it's a big deal. You know, it's racist. Like, they need to change it. But,
right. It's kind of
a great point from a money perspective, too. They will make a ton of money when they change it.
Oh, yeah. People will be buying it up just because it's changed finally, right? Not even to mention that
you'll probably win
the Redskins who suck.
Yeah. You like Adam said, you will legitimately just have people buy it just because they support the fact that it's happened, that it's changed. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah. So it's a win for everybody, except for Trump, apparently. All right. The last one I have here is Lamar Jackson will sign a bigger contract than Patrick Mahomes did today. And I know you guys feel like with time, it's just a fact that he has to, because that's the way things go. The contracts get bigger and bigger. But do you think someone will actually get a bigger contract? In this case, Lamar Jackson. Foul or no foul, Jordan?
Foul. I don't see any way that happens.
Wow. Even with it, even with inflation and everything.
Nah, not to Pat Mahomes' level. I don't think so. I think he signed the biggest contract in sports history because he beat out Mike Trout.
Yeah, he did.
I don't think there's any way that Lamar, and it's just because Lamar's a runner, right? Like, no one's gonna sign him to a 12-year contract with, you know, a pretty good arm, but it's not a play until you're 36 arm, right? It's just probably not going to happen. He may get, you know, $200 million over 6 years or something like that, but he's not going to get $480 million at one time, right? I just don't see that happening. The next guy who can maybe get it is Trevor Lawrence, right? If he's as good as everyone thinks he could be, maybe he gets more, but I don't think Lamar Jackson's going to get more.
Gotcha.
I honestly think Lamar might end up having a career trajectory similar to what Cam has had to experience. I'm hoping that's not the case, but like in regards to how that archetype gets viewed by the NFL, it's unfortunately not the same. That being said, Pat Mahomes' deal is going to be the largest because no one's getting 10 years ever. It's just not going to happen. I mean, for a team to invest in a quarterback for 10 years, that kind of statement is insane. Yeah. So do I think that somebody's going to be that confident in a player? That's a tough one. I mean, obviously, like, people are super excited about Trevor Lawrence. There's always that possibility that, you know, the next phenom comes about. It definitely can happen. But that being said, like, this is an anomaly because of how many years it is, not necessarily how much money per year, especially when you go down the line. Like, there will come a time 8 years down the road where Patrick Mahomes is not the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Right. Gotcha.
And so, like, even to piggyback that, is two guys that maybe could, at least from my perspective, is you look at, what do you guys think Deshaun Watson's going to get? And then the other guy is Kyler Murray. What is his contract going to look like? Is he maybe on that same trajectory? But Watson, I don't know what he's going to get. But, you know, same draft year, different production, different team, everything. But he's not getting even probably $200 million. But I guess we'll see. What do you guys think?
I think Lamar is going to get it. And I think that this is going to be the new structure of an NFL elite quarterback contract. And I also would say that I read just a little bit about this, and it sounded to me like towards the back end of that 10-year span, there were a lot of like options. Like, we might not guarantee you this money, and in that case, you have the right to do this. So I'm not sure it's like a hard 10 years.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to see the way contracts will evolve. I mean, it's very obvious that it's going to continue to change and continue to get different and bigger and more drastic, and rightfully so, man. These guys deserve every penny they can get. So we'll see. I'm more just worried about football being happening happening this year. So I'll take whatever happens. All right. So that's it for foul or no foul. We do usually do close in with show and tell. If anybody has any podcasts, products, music, books, philosophies, advice, anything that they want to share today. Josh or Adam, do either one of you have anything?
Yeah, totally.
That doesn't sound true. That's not even fake.
No, I definitely do, only because it randomly came up in conversation right before the podcast, and it's a callback to something that I used to be a big fan of. But if Josh and Neil both don't know it, there's probably a lot of other people out there who don't as well. If you're a fan of sketch comedy at all, there was a sketch comedy group who had a TV series on IFC for 5 years called The Whitest Kids You Know. And personally, they're my favorite sketch comedy group. And almost all of their sketches can be found on YouTube and are easily, you know, found. And they're fantastic. I enjoyed it. It was super nostalgic for me because it was like college years. But yeah, there's tons of hilarious clips out there. And if you've never checked it out, I recommend.
Nice. Josh, do you have anything?
You know, I might have brought this up before, but like, it's worth mentioning more than once that there's an app that I think it's a pretty popular app. It's called Calm, C-A-L-M. And I've been using that quite a bit, and I really like it. Like, I feel like it has improved my quality of life. So,
well, what does it do?
He's talked about this before. That's hilarious that you don't remember, and I think it's awesome that you're bringing it up again because it really does show that you've been using it.
Really, I remember him bringing up a running app, but I don't remember.
Maybe I'm misremembering, but I could have sworn you brought it up before. Nonetheless, go ahead, Josh.
I use it for like guided meditation, and they're pretty quick usually, like 10 minutes.
Nice.
I enjoy it.
What if someone's never done meditation ever? Will it work? Like,
that would be perfect. Okay. It would be perfect. Like, oh yeah.
Why don't you try that out?
Yeah, I've tried it. It's actually good. If you can embrace it and like really sink into those thoughts, it's really good. I've tried it before.
You tried it, so you haven't stuck with it, Jordan.
Nah, I'm couldn't stick with it. But it is good though. If you're like struggling to think about things or need to take a moment or whatever, it is really good for people. And I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Gotcha. We won't let you knock it too much. No, I'm just kidding.
Got to give Josh some positive feedback at some point.
This is the place to do it.
I've been all over him. So.
You know, you came on here with that intention. Don't act like you know. This is just random. You came out here to
I gotta trash my league mate, man. Yeah. I gotta crush his confidence. So he makes irrational decisions during the draft.
Don't worry. I'm already doing that for him in the chat right here.
Yeah, he does it Adam does it nonstop. It's pretty hilarious. And
it's all right. Josh and awesome. I just don't see eye to eye on player evaluations or fantasy it's football. It's better that but that's way, how honestly. This, you know, that's how sometimes this makes a good podcast.
Not always.
It's true. It does align occasionally.
Yeah.
Like stacking Cam Newton with Julian Edelman. Thank you.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Why not?
Exactly. Jordan, I'll give you a second because we don't prep you for this kind of stuff. So if you have some, just I'll give you a little bit here. The only thing I want to shout out is Pop Smoke's new album that came out, Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon. Pop Smoke, for anyone who doesn't know him, is a rapper. He was unfortunately murdered. When he was visiting California, his album, his first ever album, official album came out. They still created it and finished it after he passed. And so I want people to go ahead and support that. A lot of artists these days are dying young for a bunch of different ridiculous reasons. And it's sad. And it's unfortunate. So we're losing a lot of legends before their time, before they can create all the content. You guys know I love content. These guys are creators. And it sucks that, you know, he's been taken from us, but the music still should live on. It's a good album. Surprisingly, I didn't have a lot of faith. I don't have a lot of faith in albums when artists pass away during making the album, but this one was done really well. So shout out to that album, Pop Smoke, Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon. Go stream that bitch as soon as you can, as much as you can, because it still supports the family and his legacy. So do that. All right, Jordan, do you have anything you want to share today, man? You still have a chance to plug your stuff, so it's not you don't have to do that here. But just anything that you, it could be a device, something you heard, someone told you, it could be a product, whatever you want. This is your opportunity to share that with us.
I would just say if you don't listen to Black, I would heavily suggest you go to listen to Six Piece Hot.
Oh, I haven't listened to it yet. I'm going to get to it.
What?
I haven't listened to it yet, man.
Oh, can he
get to it? Can he get to it?
Man, it's good. It's real good.
Speaking of difference in our opinions, me and Jordan have fought in the DMs about music. This guy, or even in Twitter, I think it was.
Yeah, I respect your opinion about music, so I'll take it from you. But I need you to listen to Six Piece Hot. I need the listeners to listen to it. It's a really good album, and it's just this EP, six tracks. It's quick. It's not better than his second album, but it's for an EP, it's pretty good.
All right, I'll check it out for sure. I had to get around to it. Is it more like slow or is it faster? So,
Bit of both. Okay. Bit of both. He probably sings on four songs, raps on two.
Gotcha.
He's you know him. He's a fusion guy, so it's like hard to know if he's rapping or if he's singing. He's always doing different.
He's
shit.
Like his own thing almost. So yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, well, I'll definitely have to check that out. I have to get around to it. I seen he was dropping it. I didn't get to it yet. So yeah, damn, two music recommendations right there. An app, and what was your thing, Adam? A TV show?
Already forgot. Yeah,
TV show. Comedy. You know what's so funny is when we talk about these things, since they're not on like any kind of show note or anything, when I bring up the descriptions, I always fucking forget what we talked about. And I'm like, damn, do I have to play that all over again just to find out what we said? Awesome. Those are great things to share. Hopefully everyone is taking note of those things. I definitely want to check out this app and that album and Adam's show. We'll see. No, just kidding. All right, Jordan, we appreciate you for joining us today, man. We appreciate you hanging with us. I know it was a little late.
I don't appreciate him.
That's okay, Josh. You don't have to. Listen, that's cool. I'm okay with that.
Listen, Josh.
Do you guys remember last week when I and a league mate in the Scott Fish Bowl were on the podcast together, yes. and this didn't happen.
Yeah.
Guys, you got to embrace each other.
Yeah. We had Chris Allen on last week.
Chris and I are drafting right next to each other.
Yeah. We had Chris Allen on last week, and this did not happen, Jordan. So I don't know.
I know. I listened to it. I was like, oh, man, that's so boring. They're always agreeing, but like, it's a good podcast. But Chris, honestly, he does good shit. So yeah, that's why I wanted to listen to that one. And obviously, I listened to the pod anyway. So it was a good match for me for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So I had to come on. No.
What an endorsement. It was a boring episode, you know? Definitely an endorsement.
No, it's just when you...
I know what you mean.
You got to have a bit of conflict sometimes.
I know what you mean.
It makes for a better conversation.
I think we did more than enough of that today. And we definitely covered for last week and this week. Jordan, though, let the listeners know where they can find you, man, as far as on social media. Don't leave out the Instagram either, man. You started that Instagram up. Tell them the Instagram. Tell them where to find your articles, the shows, everything you guys are doing.
Bro, fuck that Instagram, man. I've been slacking.
It's if hard to do. It's hard to do.
It'll remind him that I haven't posted on the Instagram enough. Okay, so let's run it down. So you got Destination Devi on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Follow them all. Check them all out. I do a show every Friday on wide receivers. I'm doing buys and sells right now. Ray does usually a show every Monday, and then his Fade the Noise show will usually come out on Wednesday. That I don't know when it's starting for sure, but that I think is going to come out in the next week or two. Fade the Noise launches tomorrow, so definitely go check out their website. They have a crazy new calculator tool for all their different parlay bets. It literally calculates if you want to bet on the Chiefs, the Lions, the Colts, how much money you're going to make when you put it in, and also where to place your bet. It's like the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. And then check out the video because I made it and say it's dope. Let Brad Evans know when he tweets it out that video is the greatest video you've ever seen. Yeah, and if you do sign up, use our promo code. It's all gas. And then obviously check out the YouTube. And if you want even more of me and Ray, if you guys love Ray and you're listening because you like Ray and you want to know more about him.
It was closer before the show than it is now.
It's funny, man. I thought being so close to Ray, people would reach out to me more, and they really don't. You know, like people are always trying to get access to Ray about shit, and they don't think to ask me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, they just don't. But I mean, I don't mind because they leave my ass alone. So, but yeah, like honestly, just check everything out. If you want to go to the Patreon, patreon.com/allgas, we have Devi ranks, Cornerstone ranks. If you aren't familiar with those, they're rookies, next up Devi prospects, and then sophomores as well. So it's kind of a mix of all the young talent in the league and how to value those guys going forward. We have a new Campus to Canton league. There's other Campus to Canton leagues that are starting up. We call it the squad. It's like this awesome, awesome community that we have on Discord and Patreon. Definitely go join that if you want to check that out. Obviously, check out the YouTube stuff. Check out all the Fade the Noise stuff those guys are doing. It's like an amazing team, and it's only getting bigger and better. And I'm thrilled to be a part of that. Definitely check out all that stuff. If you're into betting, like if you're into sports betting in any facet, DFS or lines or parlay or whatever, you seriously need to check them out because they're going to be massive.
Yeah, I mean, check them out. I think they've hired everybody in the industry except us. So check out
Dude,
Fade the Noise.
That I'm in that Slack now. Woo, man, it's loaded.
Like, yeah, it's like every day, every hour.
And it's not. And it hasn't been. It's like they haven't announced everybody yet.
Yeah.
So there's still more to come. There's still a lot of things that needs to happen with that. But it launches on the 7th, so it'll be out by the time you guys hear this podcast. So definitely check out the website. There's going to be crazy, crazy stuff on there, and I'm really excited for it. I'm hoping to get more involved with that. And I love like all the people there. Like Derek Brown was one of the ones who I talked to quite a bit, and he's awesome. We're probably gonna end up doing a show for them at some point, I bet. Because we talk quite a bit too, and it's gonna be crazy. So I'm hoping to be everywhere. You're gonna hopefully see me everywhere. Hopefully more than Ray. I guess we'll see. You never know. But you know, we're just two guys that just fucking work, man. That's it. Anyone who listens to his stuff or for some reason listens to my stuff and your guys' stuff, like it's just you gotta fucking work or you're not gonna get to where you want to be. It's just keep grinding, keep doing everything you gotta do. If you want to write articles, like. Write articles. And if you don't like writing articles, find something else you can do to provide the community, because there is a lot of things that are untapped, at least from my perspective, that can be done. Like we get a lot of love on our YouTube channel, and it's because people don't do it. They just don't make videos. They don't know how. And it's I'm completely self-taught. Anyone who thinks I went to school for this or learned, like, no, like, I completely learned it all myself. It's all just YouTube and trying new things and expanding your horizons. That's all this is. And it's all it's been for anybody. It's just work.
Yeah. As important as the Scott Fishbowl talk and all that has been, that I think is an important message. What you've done, how far you've gotten, Ray, everybody. And I mean, you said they haven't hired everybody. They haven't finished everybody FTN. So I guess my contract is still in the works. I understand. Elliot, get that thing rolling, buddy.
Mine too. Don't worry.
Yeah. Tell Elliot. Chris, man, he needs to come back on the show and just hand the contracts out already, man. Let's sign him
right I'll up. Text him. Don't worry. I got you.
Send a text, man. I'll DM him. You text him. We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Other than that, what was the Twitter?
Your Twitter? It's Destination Devi. My Twitter is at ChaboyJRich. If you want to hit me up.
You definitely want to
follow
hit him
me. Yeah. Follow me. I post some pretty cool stuff, honestly. I don't tweet a lot, but when I do, you know, it's probably Fade the Noise promo right now because I'm promoing all their shit. Or a YouTube video we just dropped, or, you know, a nugget here or there, or a Devi film, or honestly a bit of everything. Music sometimes. It's just if you vibe with my personality, you'll love my Twitter. It's right. Just what it comes down to.
Follow Jordan. Stop bullshitting. Ray's got enough love. FTN's got enough love.
Seriously, man.
Follow Jordan. Follow him right now. Me. Enough of the bullshit, everybody. While you're at it, our Josh here can be found at JC Crocker. He's better on Twitter than he is on intros. Adam can be found at the other FF guy. You can find me at Clock Dodgers, Instagram, Twitter, all those good places. Please subscribe to the podcast. Leave reviews. I think we're actually at 99 reviews. I could be wrong, but like we need to get
100. Them to 100.
Come on, right? Like 100. That'd Let's be
fucking
a nice,
do it, man.
It's a nice monumental number to see. It's a nice clean number. And so that's all we're asking for. Just hit that. Be the 100th review. Be the 100th review. Be.
And say something nice about me.
Josh is amazing.
Biggest critique of Josh in the 100th review.
Yeah.
How can he improve his confidence? That's what we need. We need inspiration.
Josh is like, you know, a piece of coal and you just want to wipe him off and find a diamond. You know what I mean? Jesus.
So, well, I don't think that's how that metaphor is supposed to go.
Yeah, that's you need to learn where carbon comes from. I mean, you need to put it like under intense pressure.
Isn't pressure applied to coal makes
a lot of pressure, heat and pressure.
No, apparently we just like to play.
You can edit the podcast.
Pressure applied makes diamonds. All right, we need a pressure applied in the fucking reviews on Josh. Okay,
there you go.
Thank you. I tried to.
Okay.
You guys know what I meant by brush it
nicely
off.
Nicely done.
Brush it off was a nice listen. When someone has confidence in you, you say brush it off. You don't say apply pressure. All right.
It's not a diamond already. You don't just wipe the dirt off.
But that's how we're talking about Josh. You gotta start baby steps, okay?
No, come on, man. All you do is you dig, you find a diamond, you dust it off, and now you got yourself a diamond.
I'm not cutting this out, so keep the jokes flying.
This conversation
buddy.
Makes lots of sense.
Josh is a diamond that's a piece of coal that needs to be dusted off. Other than that, leave reviews, subscribe. We love you guys. We appreciate the support. We appreciate Jordan. He's fucking awesome. He creates a lot of great content. You should follow him and talk to him and show him love. As always, be kind, be great, keep dodging.